You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 20 of Teach Better Talk. I am Ray Hewart, and as always, I am with the pretty awesome Jeff Gargas.
Pretty awesome.
You're pretty awesome. We have a lot in store for this episode. We have a killer educator. I'm so excited to talk to her. But before we get into that, Jeff, how is your day going so far?
My day is going awesome, and I am super, super excited. Not only are we into episode 20, which is awesome, just as it is, but we have the one and only Tara Martin on here, and she's blushing. I can tell because she'll be like, I just share my story, but she's amazing. She's a rock star in my mind. Really quick overview on her 12 years plus education. She's been a teacher, an instructional coach, then she's been an administrator helping teachers and instructional coaches. And recently she is moved into a different position working with educators all over the world now as part of Dave Burge's consultant. She is their fancy words director of media and communication, which is awesome. Tara's also the creator. If you've been on pretty much any kind of social media and seen book snaps, that's Tara's doing there. And a phenomenal author of just an incredible book, Be Real, Educate from the Heart. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to get into picking Tara's brain just a little bit today. But first off, Tara, how are you feeling right now?
Oh, I'm feeling amazing. I'm super excited to join you guys today. I love what you're doing. I love the work that you guys put out there. And yeah, I'm excited to be a part of the journey.
So Tara, I know that Jeff gave you a pretty like good brief overview, but when someone comes up to you on the street and says, hey, what do you do for a living? What's your typical answer? Because you've done so much in your career. So how do you explain all that you do?
I like to tell people a lot of times when people ask me that, I often just say, you know, I'm an educator. I love to inspire teachers and kids. I am a coach at heart. When I became an instructional coach right after teaching in the classroom, I cried for like a month. I thought, man, I just left the thing that I love doing, you know, teaching. And then before long, it became a heart to coach and to inspire others to grow and to learn and to be even better than what they already are. And so I say, no matter what role I am, I like to stay real. Of course, we'll talk about that later. But I also am a coach. I love to find what people do that's amazing and amplify it and help them to be even better. That is, that's what I tell people that I love doing. And that is what I get to do in every role that I've been in education, including this one with Dave Burge's Consulting. So I'm often finding, or I don't even have to find them, the authors bring all of their edu-awesomeness, and I get to share it and amplify it with the world through media, through communications, through digital creations, also just sharing, helping them to get their message out there to different audiences, hooking them up with podcasts, hooking them up with interviews with different people throughout the educational system. So my role now, I still get to be a coach, and it's just my life. I love it. I love it as a mom. I love it as a wife, as a friend, as an educator. It doesn't matter what I get to do. I'm a coach at heart.
I love it. So you touched on it, but let's talk about the real, the Be Real. So your book, Be Real, Teach from or Educate from the Heart. Can you take us into the sort of 1,000-foot view, the overview of what's the book cover? What is real? What does that mean?
Totally. So REAL is an acronym. It's being relatable, exposing vulnerability, always approachable, and learning through life. And isn't it amazing when you meet someone who is just real? Like, Do you ever just meet those people and you're like, oh, I love you already? Like, just because you're just you. And so I think in every role, no matter what ladder of status or whatever that we climb, it's important to stay real, because that is what people connect to. It's what children connect to. They know when we are spraying and praying, if you will, like all this content out there, and we're just praying that they pass the test. But if we don't take time to build the real relationships, to show them that we are relatable, to show them that we are approachable, they can come to us when they have a question, and to let them know that it's okay to expose vulnerability and to share your heart. And we are always learning. Everyone's a learner. If we don't take time to build those real connections, I think we are missing the heart of what education is all about, because that is the one thing that technology will never replace. It may one day replace what we can do in these content standards, but it can never replace the heart of every individual in this world, all the strengths, talents, and unique abilities that they bring, every single individual brings to the table. Technology can never replace all of that. And so if we want to be future ready, we need to be real.
Oh, I love it. And one of those people you're talking about, that's you, Tara. You're so real. Like, I love that. That was when we got to finally meet in person over this past summer. I actually got to see you speak too. And I can't remember who was like, well, how was she? What was she like in person? I said, well, she's just exactly what you think. She's real. She's just what you see is what you get. Like, you, she's just you. You're just you. So I love it. I love that that's where that came from. If you haven't read that book, guys, get out and read it. It's totally worth it. It's such a good book. So I want to dive a little further, and we're gonna be real here too. Tara, you know, your experience in different roles and experience in different things, and now on a new journey and all this work that you've done. Can you take us in with you to a time that you've had a mistake and messed up and had a failure, and kind of take us where you know, with you there, like, what did it make you feel like? What happened? How did you overcome from it? And then what did you learn from that?
Oh, this is a good one. You know, I have had a lot of mistakes, so it's not very hard to find one. But so recently I've been exploring with this idea of keynote speaking. I spent my years of teaching in elementary. So as you might know, elementary is very hands-on. We don't stand and lecture ever. I mean, kids are rolling on the floor if you talk more than 5 minutes. So the idea of keynote speaking, I've done a lot of professional development. I typically do workshop type settings. And so I hadn't really had any experience with a straight up lecture with slides. And so the summer was my first one, June the 4th or something like that. And I was super stoked about it. And I've honestly never told this in public, so this is awesome. So have fun with this. Anyways, you can delete that if you need to.
Never.
No, I love it. This is how real Tara is. That's yes, why I love yes. talking with you.
It's about to get real, real. Dave Burgess is about to die. Okay. So Dave told me, hey, I'll come out. My keynote was in San Diego. He's like, I'll come out and watch you and give you feedback. I was like, okay, dude, like, this is going to rock. I love teaching. I always feel super confident when I'm teaching and when I'm doing professional development. So I really wasn't extremely worried about it. I was a little nervous because it was new, but I wasn't really extremely worried about it. Oh my gosh. So the first 20 minutes of the keynote was pretty good. You know, like, I could tell the crowd was engaged. They were looking at me. Dave was, you kind of giving me the nod in the back of the room. I was like, okay, we're good so far. And then they start like dozing off, right? And I could tell that I was losing the crowd. But what happened was I was so bound by my slides. And so I needed like this story that was a jillion slides up. And I couldn't like fast forward through all those slides to get to the story that I needed to try to pull the crowd back in. And I was so lost, because in a workshop, if I notice people are disengaged, I can change on a dime. I'm not bound by anything. I'm a storyteller. So bam, done. But with a keynote, it was different. There's a science behind it that I had yet to discover. And so when I get nervous, you know, because I am so real, when I get nervous, I just start saying stuff. Stuff just comes out of my mouth that is so, I don't even know where it comes from. And so there I am, just like rambling off all of these things. And Dave is looking at me like, you need to, like, he's kind of giving me the chop at the neck. Like, we need to kind of land this plane. It's really bad. It's getting really bad. And the more it's going, the more I'm telling all these stories that aren't relating. And it's just crazy chaos. Anyways, they The crowd ended up loving it, still buying my book. I don't even know how. And because I was so real. And all of a sudden, Dave's like, would you like the feedback now? Or would you like to wait until dinner? And, you know, we kind of talk it over with Shelly. And I'm like, oh my gosh, can we please wait till dinner? I just want to crawl in a hole. It was like, I was just saying all these random things. And I made it to the end, but it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And so, we get to the end and I start telling Dave, wow, I really don't know how to deliver an engaging lecture. That is hard to do. And so he started giving me all these tips. And before long, you know, I start studying the science behind it and how you really have to be a good storyteller, but you also have to allow yourself some flexibility within your slides. And these certain time periods when you should get an emotional response from the crowd, all these different pieces that I had no idea. I was getting a response from the crowd, but it was not good. And so, you know, now after doing this all summer and into the fall, I feel super confident with it. But it took a long time of training. And it also took people giving me some pretty hard feedback that as a girl who typically rocks things that she tries. Like I usually study it up really good. And so I want to be really good at it. I don't want to be mediocre ever. And so the fact that this is so bad. So Shelly, like I called Shelly, tell her how bad it was. She didn't get to attend. She's like, oh, let me talk to Dave. I'm sure it wasn't quite that bad. And she talked to him. He's like, it was rough. I was like, oh man, this is so bad. But the point is, we don't, and I love what Dave told me over dinner. He said, you know, I'll take some of this because it's just like with our students, some of our high achieving students, we expect them to be so awesome at everything. And you've never been taught to deliver a keynote. Like, why did I expect that you would just go out there and do it? You even thought you would just go out there and do it. But the truth is, you have to be taught. We have these high expectations on people because they're good at something or they're good at lots of things. But if they've never been taught, how do we expect that they would just show up and do it? And he said, so you're about to be taught. And then after this, I expect you to start doing better. and you know, I think that's how it is as educators. We can't just blanket judge people because they do things well. You know, oftentimes I think we pay a lot of attention to the students that aren't doing well. But what about the ones that are rocking it out? We also can't expect that they're going to rock out every single thing that they do. They still have to be taught. So that was one of my overcoming moments. It was so embarrassing to be so bad at that first one. And those people were so precious and adorable. And thank God they loved me anyway. And it probably wasn't like epic fail. But in my mind, I knew I could do better if I just had spent some time learning a little bit more.
It's so funny to hear you speak about your presentations, Tara, because I was able to actually hear you speak this summer, and you're just so infectious when you present. You're so lovable. I mean, we hadn't even really met yet, and I was already sitting in the audience like, she is so cool. I mean, I just loved your message, and you're so smiling and positive, and those are the type of people I love to surround myself with. I actually just did a podcast with Adam Peterson the other day, and we talked all about positivity and how you really need to surround yourself with people that lift you up, but also challenge you. And so just even our few conversations virtually and hearing you speak this summer, that's just something you're so wonderful at. But what in education right now is getting you excited? What are you exposed to right now as you're traveling all over that you're really just inspired by and just is keeping you going and seeing education in such a positive light moving forward?
You know, speaking about Be Real has been super encouraging to me to hear educators come up to me and say, or just tweets. Like a lot of times I will just see the tweets after my sessions and they're like, thank you for reinvigorating what we already possess. Because one of the teachers came up to me this past weekend and she said, Tara, you know, I often think, what is the next best thing that I need to put in my classroom? And what I love technology. You guys know that. I live on Twitter and I'm a media communications director. So you know I love technology. But, you know, too often I think we're thinking, what is the next tech tool that I need to put in my classroom right now to be the best I can be? But this teacher said to me, hit me straight in the heart. And she said, thank you for reminding me that I have what I need inside to do this work. I have a heart and I love kids and I have passion for what I do. I know my why. And so I'm going to teach. I can cannonball in on these ideas of trying this technology in the classroom, but I can't leave out what I have, what I already possess, and I know is tried and true, and that's the heart. That's the heart of education. So, you know, comments like that keep me going because it reminds me that if people can keep the heart, they can sustain the heart, then education is going to thrive because truly we are an educational triage. I mean, we are like, it's like an emergency room where everything is vying for our attention and educators are just like frazzled. Like, oh my gosh, what do we stabilize first? Like everything is important. But the piece that I would encourage you guys all to stabilize is the heart. It's the piece that you already have. Like you don't even have to try hard to do that. You know your passion, you know your why, you know what you got into this business to do. And then the rest is to amplify that realness. So if you are adding a tech tool, use it to amplify the realness that is within all of the learners that you serve. And if we could keep that into perspective, like that keeps me going. So when I hear educators come up and say, thank you, like, thank you for reminding me of this, because I get so caught up in this educational triage and I'm treating the wrong thing. And so what keeps me going? I would say that keeps me going.
You know, it blends really well to the next question I was going to ask you, which is kind of your advice for new teachers. And obviously keeping true to why they went into the profession and, you know, what fuels them is a big piece of that. But is there anything specifically that when you approach newer teachers, you know, maybe it's their first time in the job or maybe they're just a few early years in, what type of feedback do you give them to really ensure that they find success and hold on to that why the whole way through?
Yeah, I loved being an instructional coach. I got to mentor brand new teachers. And then when I was an administrator of and a supervisor of instructional coaches, that's one of the things that I said, you know, we have to take care of our first year teachers. So a lot of times with first year teachers, I like to share with them the cycle of the first year. I kind of like to give them a nice overview, especially when I mentored them. Now, like if I'm just talking to them on the street, I probably wouldn't give them all this information. But when I'm mentoring them, I let them know, you know, by right now you're on this high of starting your first year and it's so exciting, but get in there and build relationships. Relationships with your students is key. If you can get in there and do activities to where you can build relationships for the first several weeks, everything you're doing is connecting with students, connecting with their families, connecting with the community, connecting with your colleagues, building those relationships, the learning, the deep learning starts happening after that. And so I always try to remind them of that, but I also remind them that by November, you may or may not be, but probably will be questioning why in the world did you ever get in this profession? And it's very normal. It's like this delusion phase. Like we're like, I don't even know why I did this. I am dying. And it's very normal, but you're going to come back out. And so often when I was the administrator of instructional coaches, I would let them know your first year teachers need a lot of support. They need a lot of love. They need a lot of sticky notes telling them all the awesome things that they're doing between October and December, because that is a very hard phase of a first year teacher. And then after that, they start climbing out again and they get back on that high of, wow, I really am in this for the right reason. These kids are learning. The relationships have been built and now they are starting to grow and to learn. But if I were to give a first year teacher on the streets advice, I would say build connections with your kids. Somehow find ways. Don't think it takes too much time to do this either. Find ways to find their interests, their passions, their strengths, and tie that into the learning, because that's going to take you a long ways.
Oh, I'm loving it, Tara. You're being real with us and I love it. Let's get real here. We're going to get real for the next six questions.
Sweet.
I'm going to give you six questions and your goal is to answer each in 15 seconds or less.
Whoa. Okay. Let's do it.
Jesse right, Notera, he's really sitting in his basement with a stopwatch. So yes, get ready for this.
I have my stopwatch, and it's, I don't know what happens if you don't hit it, but it's nothing at all. It's good. All right, so here we go. What is one ed tech tool that you cannot live without?
Snapchat.
What book are you reading right now?
I'm reading three books. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm about to read to the first graders. After the Fall, it's by Dan Santat. It's a picture book and I love it.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
Need to follow Burgess at Burgess Dave, at Shelly Burgess, and at Jay Billy. I think it's his name, at Jay Billy too.
Gotcha. I'll make sure it's the right one in the show notes there. What's the best either YouTube channel or blog website for educators?
I like the blog of George Kuros. He promotes something every day or at least every couple of days, and it's always powerful.
Awesome. What is one daily, weekly, or monthly routine that every teacher should get into?
Some form of exercise. Nice. Every week.
Gotcha. And then what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I've ever received is to stay true to you.
Oh, I love that.
She did it. She kept under the 15 seconds. Tara, you killed it.
Yes. I am reading a really cool book, though. I wish I would have said it.
Which book's that?
I'm reading what it's called. I think it's called What Cannot Be Placed on a Gift Card or a Quote Card or something like that. It's all about the things that you say to people during times of tragedy. And, you know, when you feel the loss of words, you're like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I just want to hug you. But it's all the things, oh, this cannot be placed on a gift card or a greeting card, I think that's what it's called. It's so good, though. It gives you a lot of advice on how to comfort and be real with people that are going through hard times when you don't really know what to say. I really love it.
You know, Tara, one thing I really always love about speaking with you is how reflective you are. Do you have any advice for people out there that are trying to be more reflective, trying to be more, you know, conscientious of their practice? You're just constantly reflecting and growing. And I think that's such a great attribute to have as an educator.
Certainly. Well, you know, I've written a blog before called the Dear Highly Reflective One. I wrote it to myself. It's so funny. I signed it Highly Reflective One. it's, you know, this is a trait that can be a blessing and a curse. But more times than not, I would agree with you, Ray. I think it's a blessing because every day at the end of the day, I write in a journal. And so when I write in a journal, I often just write to myself like all the things that went well that day and some of the things I wish that if I could do it again, how would I change it up a little bit? And sometimes I'm just having a really tough time and I end up coaching myself through my blog. I mean, through my journal. I do not post all my journals on my blog, thank God, because you guys would put me in a hospital somewhere or something. But I often just reflect what went well, what was your perception? What do you believe the other person's perception could have been or might have been? And then how could you come to some kind of solution to this issue that's going on in your mind? But I literally can't sleep unless I get some of this stuff out. And I don't really want to talk to people about it, but I really just want to grow and learn from the things that I experienced that day. So for me, journaling has been very helpful, but writing is my passion. For some people, writing is not their passion. So I've known people that'll do like voice memos to themselves and they save their voice memos, kind of like podcasts, just on their, like as MP4s on their computer. And then they can go back and listen to them. For me, I like to just go through my journal and I'm like, wow, I thought that was so hard 4 weeks ago. And same with the keynote. Like, I thought that was so bad. I love going back and reading that journal because it is hilarious. I didn't give you details because I don't want that to be on the air yet. But I thought it was just terrible. And then now, you know, just a few months later, 3 months later, I'm like, wow, you know, I've grown a lot since then. So I love just to see that professional growth. I also call blogging. So there are times when these journals can go on a blog easily. And I think blogging is like your professional time capsule. It like holds things for you that you did and you tried. And then 3 months later, when you write another blog, you can see the growth. You're like, wow. I started out like that and look now, look what I'm doing now. Look what I'm thinking now after I've gotten some more wisdom from my fellow educators around the world. So I think being reflective, whatever it is that you do, somehow jotting down what you do and then going back and looking and seeing how much you've grown. It's empowering to yourself. But also, if you think about it, if it's out into the world, it's empowering to others. And then when you go to apply it for a job, I mean, think about it. They look at your educational time capsule and they're like, wow, look where she started and look where she's mm-hmm. at now. So I am an inner innovator. Like I never stop thinking about what I could do differently and how I can change that just slightly to be a little bit better.
I love that. It's so important in the field that we're in. And I think as teachers, we strive to reflect because we know it's so powerful, but really mastering the art of reflecting daily and ensuring that it's purposeful and you're being honest with yourself throughout the process is just such a skill. So for all of our listeners out there, just keep practicing that because it really does impact our impact that we're able to have as educators. So Tara, I have one more question for you, and it might be the most important question of the recording. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. So you've shared so much with all of our listeners, and I can't wait for all of them to continue learning from you on social media and through your book, but I want to make sure that they know how to connect with you. So will you go through Instagram, Twitter, website? I mean, how do people keep in contact with you so they can continue this learning journey?
I love it. So you can follow me at Tara. You can follow me lots of places. I'm going to tell you my website first. So my website is taramartin.com. So there's two M's in the middle that trips people up sometimes. One of the things I would love to tell you about my website, just super briefly while we're ending this, is there is a tab called My Book. And then underneath My Book, there is a Be Real Book Resources tab. There are so many resources on that tab. Like every picture is a button. And if you click that button, it takes you to a new page of this is ways to get to know your students. This is ways to be real with the learners that you serve. There's just so many ideas and how-tos to share with your staff, to share with your educators that you serve. So please do check out that resource. Those resources are completely free and you don't even have to read the book to try to have things to do and be real, more real with the learners that you serve. So that's one thing. At TaraMartinEDU is my Twitter handle. Please follow me there. I love to share a lot of encouraging things with educators there. You also can follow me at TaraMMartin.real on Instagram. I am slowly building up my Instagram there. I'm at TaraMMartin on Facebook as well. So I am on lots of different social media platforms. You can follow me any of those places. And then at each of those places, you could also find out more about other social medias that I have. I'm Tara M. Martin Real on Snapchat. If you like to share book snaps with me, I have a lot of book snaps followers there. And so, yeah, please do connect. There's no reason not to connect. And if you have any questions, please do feel free to leave comments under any of those social media platforms or send me private messages and I'll do my very best to answer them.
Awesome. And you know that you can find all the links and resources and everything that we've mentioned in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as those really important links for connecting with Tara. We'll have all of that over there. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and a review, we'd really appreciate that as well. Tara, seriously, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. You've been traveling like crazy. We know this. We had to lock you down to get you in. And we really appreciate taking some time and just being real with us. It's absolutely invaluable to us and to everyone who's listening. So I'm going to try and convince you to come back on and in a couple months to share with us again. And we can do some reflection of where we are today versus where we are then with you. And I think that'll be awesome. So hopefully you will agree to that. But we really appreciate it. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are amazing.
And everyone else, until next time, let's get out there. Let's teach better.